When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Life.
Call his wife and hey, how we doing? 406. Knicks fans, we wake up to a new world. That's right. Mikal Bridges is a Knick. I never thought the Nets would be stupid enough to do it, but they did it. Unbelievable. Yes, they got a ton of picks. Sure they did. Sure they did. And I understand that's a lot of picks for the Knicks to give up for a player that, listen, as much as I'll tell you, as excited as Knicks fans should be today, as great a player as he is, as solid a player as he is, as much as he's going to fit into this team clearly as he is part of now the Villanova Four, part of this group that is going to fight and claw, part of this group that is going to be tough and resilient the same way they were this year, but even more talented. Although I will tell you, I don't know if I would classify him in the superstar category, and that's pretty much where trades with six overall first picks is resigned to. I still will tell you that this team still has first picks available, that they are still making two picks in this upcoming draft, and that for me, the value of those picks are limited because I expect this young, talented roster to still be good for a handful of years. And this right now is just, it's an unbelievable feeling because, listen, we felt that even if they just brought back the same team last year, if they signed Ananobi and brought back Hartenstein, which is probably the player that now feels like very unlikely to be brought back as you're hearing rumors that many teams are after him and the contract might just exceed what the Knicks are going to be capable of giving him. It sounds like still OG Ananobi is a player on their radar. So, I mean, you could be talking about a roster that even if they didn't bring back a player like this, would be thrusted into the mix and we'd be excited about possibly being one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, to be back where they were last year in a spot where if they were healthy, we felt like they would have been in an Eastern Conference Finals. And now they add a player like Mikal Bridges, who first and foremost plays, has played 82 games every single year, I believe, of his NBA career. I think he hasn't missed a game since high school. He plays as much as anyone. He's been able to stay healthy. He's an Iron Man. He can shoot mid-range, three-pointer. And you know, whatever his flaws might have been, and he had an up-and-down year last year, as many flaws as he might have had at times and, you know, struggling to get up to play with a team that was just a disastrous losing team, he is not going to be afforded that in this room with his friends held accountable by the best leader and captain, why not use the word, that the in Brunson that the Knicks have had in forever. And you're going to have Julius Randle come back, and I would think that there's the plan of keeping Julius Randle and playing Randle. They were able to keep McBride in this trade and any other young you know player and additional player. Like, they didn't give up anything but picks and Bogdanovich, where they gave up, just to make sure everybody's aware, if you're hearing it for the first time right now, they gave up four of their own unprotected picks in years 2025, 27, 29, and 31. They gave up a first round 2025 protected pick coming from Milwaukee, and then a 28 pick swap, and then a 2025 second round pick plus Bogdanovich. That's what you got for Bridges. And yes, that sounds like a lot of picks, but you know what? I expect this team to be good. I expect this Knick team to be good for a while with their youth. And so those picks, yeah, could they have been spent on a superstar? Sure, which one? Because the one that seems to possibly be available right now in Paul George, I don't think anybody seems to want. I mean, Giannis is a pipe dream. We've been chasing stars for how long? right? Oh, well, maybe Cat could become available and Carl Anthony Towns. Well, we don't want Carl Anthony Towns. Well, maybe Embiid. Oh, we don't want Embiid. Like, star after star who might become available, nobody thinks is the right fit, nobody wants. Oh, how much are you going to have to give up for him? He's got injury problems. He's got attitude problems. He's got, questionable in the big games. Like, there's always a problem with one of the superstars, and that's how, other than Mitchell, I suppose, which they were on the borderline of possibly getting last year, but it sounds like he's going to sign a contract if he hasn't already with Cleveland to stay there. I mean, this is the move to make. This is the now move. And to keep all the other pieces, I mean, right now, the depth of this team, I mean, you're looking at a roster that, assuming they bring OG back, which agreed is an assumption, but let's do it right now. We're dreaming. Assume they bring OG back. You've got Jalen Brunson. You've got Julius Randle. You've got Mikal Bridges. You've got OG Anunoby. You got Mitchell Robinson. As of right now, I suppose that's the starting five, although I could see Mitch get traded as well. But then you've got Hart, DiVincenzo, McBride. I mean, you are a deep, deep roster. Plus two first-round picks in this draft. I think you are, the Knicks just made the case of being without question or, right there with Milwaukee if they're healthy. And we saw how they, even before losing their players, it wasn't quite the fit and they missed Holiday. But right there, as good as anybody, right behind the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference. I mean, this is an enormous trade. And it, for whatever there is, I know the city is all New York Knicks. But if we're going to look at it for you Net fans, and I'm sorry, I hate it. If I were a Net fan right now, I understand it's a ton of picks. Maybe the 29 and 31 picks become something, but the Knicks are going to be good in 25 and 27. Those picks aren't going to amount to much, and you just traded away your best player to the New York Knicks. You've got to watch him play. You've got to watch him become the final piece of what could become a championship team. They are now one of the handful of teams that will be predicted to come out like they're it. And for what? For a bunch of back end of the first round picks? For no real player? I mean, I don't know how. When I just walked in, me and Fleeman were talking. Both of us, like, the first thing we said was, how did they not get Deuce? How did they not get something? At the trade deadline, when they were talking about acquiring him, it was for an all-star. You might have to give up Randle. I mean, that was the thought. I mean, this is a slam dunk home run trade for me. This is as good as it gets. And the Knicks right now, hopefully. And the difference too is that, last year they transformed into the team we truly believed in around January. Going into the season, yes, positive. Yes, felt like they had a real good opportunity to be a playoff team. I mean, I made money on the over 45 at the start of the year. I mean, but that's where, okay. Maybe the fourth or fifth best team in the Eastern Conference. Real no chance to really win a title unless they get another superstar. And over the course of the year, Jalen Brunson, as great as he was year one, year two, completely emerged as a superstar in this league. When they got Anunoby, it transformed the team into the best team in the NBA for a month. And it felt like, even in the playoffs, without Randle, if they avoided every other injury, they would have been in the Eastern Conference Finals with the Boston Celtics. And so now with this trade heading into the season, Knick fans, I can't remember the last time going into the year we will ever have been so excited about the prospects of actually being a championship contender. And the Brooklyn Nets did it to them and gave it to them for maybe two picks in 6 years. Okay. I know it's a lot of picks on the Knicks standpoint. I hate it. I love it for the Knicks. I hate it for the Nets. And much like I love last night for the Mets and hated it for my New York Yankees, the other story is obviously last night's Subway Series game, the Mets and this potent, deep, much deeper than the New York Yankees, lineup top to bottom pounded Gerrit Cole. and add him to the name of excellent starting pitching they've absolutely pounded over the last 2.5, 3 weeks. They haven't been doing it against the bums of baseball. They've been doing it against Dylan Cease. They've been doing it against Imanaga. They're doing it against Gerrit Cole. They're doing it against John Gray. They have beat up some really good starting pitching over the last 3 weeks. This offense seems relentless. And the New York Yankee offense tells you all you need to know in the first inning. And I told you yesterday that this Met team had a real chance if beating the Yankees and beating up on Cole and taking it to the Yankees in this series had an opportunity to really stick it to the Yankees for as good as I can ever remember them having a chance to stick it to them and making us question everything about this team. And right there, smack dab in the first inning, as the first three hitters of the inning get on, first pitch of the game is a base hit from Volpe. I've been yelling about the bunt. I'm gonna just pass by it, but why the hell Juan Soto was bunting, I'll never know. It drove me absolutely crazy, but eventually he walks. And then, of course, Judge walks, because why would you pitch to him with Gleyber Torres on deck? And they get the first three runners on in the first inning to try and get on Peterson, get a lead, give Cole a little bit of breathing room in this second start of his season. And instead, the rest of this lineup, and particularly Gleyber Torres, Verdugo, and the newly acquired, brand new, spanking new Yankee, J.D. Davis, go down, strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. They score nothing with the bases loaded and nobody out. And right there is a microcosm of the fear of this team. That the lineup is so putrid behind Judge with the way with Stanton's injury, with the way Gleyber Torres is going, with the way DJ LeMahieu is going, with the way Trevino is going, and he can't throw anybody out either. We figured that too at the end of the game as the Mets are taking bases at will. Right now, the fear of this lineup just not being good enough, and what's going to happen as this goes on, because I've talked about Aaron Judge, and I've talked about the idea that in my mind, we are watching currently the best hitter. This Judge right now is the best hitter that we have seen since Barry Bonds. And as he hits a grand slam last night and makes a game that wasn't that close seem a lot closer if you just woke up and checked the box score, as the Yankees lose 9-7 to the New York Mets, and it seems, it was a two-run game. Yeah, it wasn't. Judge hits a grand slam late in this game. It's going to get to the point where even with the bases loaded, Judge is going to be walked, because why pitch to him? Why pitch to him with Gleyber Torres hitting behind him? Why pitch to him with, I don't know, Verdugo, or I guess, you know, Ben Rice is the next option, and he might be the best of the bunch. Right now, without Stanton, you are seeing the rest of this lineup is completely weak. Gleyber Torres, who was their best hitter last year, has completely fallen on his face. And I have no problem with hitting Gleyber cleanup last night. I don't. You know what? They need him. I agree with Boone when they say they need him. And I know we saw this whole experience. We've been talking about it all morning. Whether it's the strikeout in the first inning, which is just a disaster. Can't even put the ball in play to get a run in. Strikeout in the first inning. Botched a ground ball hit right at him with the infield drawn in later in the game to try and cut off some more insurance runs. And then clearly doesn't run the ball out in his last at-bat in the eighth inning after Judge hits the grand slam, ground ball to short, a little topper of a ground ball, where I understand, you know, the excuses, and from Boone and from him, well, you know, the quad is tight, the groin is tight, I'm not going to push it, nonsense. Because I'll tell you right now, I mean, that's part of it maybe, but there's an instinct that kicks in. That wasn't a bullet right at the third baseman that, you know, before you get a step out of the box, he's already got the ball in his glove and you cakewalk it to first base like we've seen a million players do a million different times. No, this was a slow roller that, yeah, you don't beat it out necessarily, but that instinct kicks in right away that, hey, I got a chance of a hit, and it didn't kick in for a second. Gleyber Torres is a losing player. He has been one for a while, and at the end of the year, the Yankees will move on. But they don't have that ability right now. You might scream for it. I'm sick of it, no doubt. They don't have another option. They need Gleyber Torres. And with Stanton gone, I had no problem challenging him and saying, look, we need you. You're our cleanup hitter, especially against left-handed pitching. Let's go get it. They challenged him. And he failed. And he failed with flying colors. And the New York Yankees have a real problem with the back end of their lineup. The New York Yankees have a problem right now with the middle of their bullpen. And the New York Yankees have a problem right now with the catcher and the pitching staff being unable to hold runners on. So there's some problems. And yet they still picked up a game in first place. And I will tell you, I don't expect it to be this bad for this long. And now tomorrow is later today, is an enormous game for the Yankees, an enormous game for Luis Gil, and an opportunity for the Mets, who are playing the best baseball in Major League Baseball, 14-4 over their last eight games, and hitting the cover off the ball, whether it's Vientos with two home runs, whether it's Nimmo kind of out in front on a changeup but able to keep his hands back enough to drive it over the right field wall, whether it's McNeil with two hits. I mean, the whole lineup is just relentless. Alvarez coming back has changed them. J.D. Martinez getting hot and Nimmo getting hot has changed them. Lindor hitting first has changed them. And right now, they are taking on all comers. And Luis Gil is up next. And this young pitcher who's had a virtuoso, great rookie season, hearkening back to all the, Doc Gooden, Fernando Valenzuela, whoever you want to bring up, got pounded his last start. And if the Mets do what they've done over the last week and send him packing early for the showers, there won't be an aspect of this team that Yankee fans or the Yankees themselves will feel confident about. And the Mets can be the team to finally do that to them. And that hasn't been an opportunity for the New York Mets in a long time. There's a big game coming up later today. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls as we got an enormous trade for the New York Knicks and a Subway Series that could be pivotal for both teams. Peter and Lawrence, what's up, Pete?
You are so correct, Christopher.
Well, I know that, but I've said a lot, so let's be a little bit more specific.
I expect Luis Gil to get his 10th win today.
Okay, look
and
at
you. Would you say Cole was more rust, lost? Or just didn't have it?
Yeah, I mean, a combination of all. Probably mostly rust. I'm not concerned about Cole. I'm really not. He got pounded today. He had nothing. Early on, he had his fastball at like 99, but he couldn't locate it, so he decided to try and lower the velocity in exchange for location, and it didn't work. He talked about it, and I was concerned. I was, because they were showing the numbers. He's throwing 99 in the first. It dips down to under 92 at points in the second and third. So I was concerned. But once he came out in the postgame and told me he feels good and strong and that it was somewhat purposeful to kind of ramp it down a little bit and find that gear, as he puts it, like a car with an automatic trying to find the gear. Once he said he was healthy, I felt better about it. And it's his second start. It's like spring training. It really is. Judge said it, and it's true. Now, it doesn't make you feel any better, and it didn't mean that he had to go up there and get lit up. I'm not trying to take away from the Mets. They had good at-bats, made him work, and then when he did throw the ball over the plate, they took him deep. So I'm not trying to take away from the Mets. But, yeah, this is, as a Yankee fan, just looking at the concerns of the team, Gerrit Cole, after two starts, it's a little too early to really have major concern about Gerrit Cole.
The funniest thing is, I was watching the game with my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Mets fan. I'm a Yankee fan. And his first words after the first inning was, "Do you want your Jack Daniels in water?" I said, "Not yet." And when it came time for the fourth inning, I said, "Give it to me." And then what I'm concerned about is Luis Gil reminds me of Guidry, a good pitcher, maybe not as a caliber of Guidry, but he has excelled more than they expected him to. Wouldn't you agree?
Say that.
He's
last...
9-2. He's got 97 strikeouts and 81 in the third inning.
Yeah.
He's done better than they thought.
Oh, Luis Gil?
Yes.
Yes, he's done far better than they expected him to. Absolutely. But the problem with Luis Gil is, and unlike Gerrit Cole, is if Luis Gil goes out there and gets clobbered by the Mets later today, and we're not going to have the same reaction that we have with Cole. Cole has a history. Cole last year won the Cy Young. Cole's working his way back. Luis Gil pitched 7 innings last year. Luis Gil's coming off Tommy John surgery. We've been discussing Luis Gil's innings limits and fatigue the entire time he's been doing this. And if he's going to throw you back-to-back terrible starts after being dominant, if suddenly a switch, it's not even a slow fade. It's dominant, 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 terrible, terrible. Suddenly it's, well, what the hell's wrong with him? Something must, he must be fatigued. What's up with his arm? Is he healthy? Did the league figure him out? Like, there's a bunch of concerns about Luis Gil that I don't think exist yet with Cole. But so as great as Luis Gil's been, and as much as I would tell you, absolutely, if Luis Gil's going to go give me 13 great starts and two bad ones, that's phenomenal, even if the two bad ones are right next to each other. Of course. But it's not so much that it's the bad starts. It's what does it say about him moving forward? Because we've been concerned, and the Yankees have talked about monitoring his fatigue and monitoring his innings, and you know he didn't pitch last year. It's not just a normal pitcher who goes, well, he had 13 great starts and two bad ones. What do you expect? Fair, and I'd be there with you. And if it were one, and we'd probably feel different if it was one at the beginning of the year or the middle of the year and they were separated by starts. But if those two starts are going to be back-to-back and we have all these questions about his arm fatigue, it's going to lead to concerns about what he is. And right now, the rotation is about the only thing you really have faith in. The top of the 1-2-3 in the order and the rotation are about the only things worth having faith in. And I still would tell you the closer. I still have faith in Holmes. He's not Mariano Rivera, but I think he's one of the better relievers in the league. So I would tell you the closer, the top of the order, and the rotation are what I would have confidence in. And if any of those get to a real point, and I know for many of you, the closer is kind of already there, but if any of those get to a point where I'm really like, geez, this is a bad unit too, well, now the Yankees are in major trouble. So that's why Luis Gil is scary. Carmen and Linden, what's up, Carmen?
Big Mac, yes, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing real good.
Good.
I want to make 2 points, and I'll make them quickly with you. You probably don't remember me, but I'm 75 years old and a Villanova graduate.
And
you do? Okay,
I
great. Just to remind what you've been talking about, I've been a Yankee fan since I'm 10 years old, 65 years a Yankee fan, and approximately 35 years, 65 years a Knicks fan. And when I went to Villanova and graduated in 1971, over 50 years ago, I became a Villanova fan. Okay. Two things I want to say.
Yeah.
I agree with everything you just said about not being worried about Cole because he's got a history. As different from Gil because of the fact that the problems that he's had.
Right.
But I just hope that we're not getting something being said by Cole, and he didn't really have a problem. I know the velocity was there. I just hope that he's okay. That's number one.
Okay.
And then the other comment is about Villanova. This has got to be the most amazing thing. I've been calling for the four guys from Villanova for them to get that fourth guy. I can't believe it happened today.
Yeah.
I don't think in the history of professional basketball, the NBA, I don't think anybody has ever had, I'm not going to say the four of them will be all starters now, but I don't think any team has had four guys from the same school that graduated around the same year. I'm so proud of the Knicks and of Villanova.
Yeah.
I'm like, my heart is jumping. I'm elated.
Yeah, no, and I'm sure you are, Carmen. I understand why. And right now, and they just happen to be very good players. And you're right, all four of them won't start. Right now, I would probably think that Hart and DiVincenzo, if OG Anunoby comes back, probably on the bench. But provide, it already has. It's been such already a major piece of the team that those three players have already been through battles together, who know how to win together, who know each other's reactions so well. And Mikal Bridges will come in and fit right in. And while, again, I'm not I agree. I don't think he's like a, he's not a superstar player. It's a lot of picks for a non-superstar player. I just don't know the value of the picks. I mean, I don't know who, and I at some point you have to make a move. Like at some point you just got to say, I can't continue to sit around and hold these picks and say I'm waiting for the better player. I'm waiting for the better player. And then when the better player comes along, like Paul George, nobody wants him. So it's a lot of picks, don't get me wrong. And they could have used those assets, even if I deem those picks to not be that worthy at, you know, for a Knicks team that I expect to go deep into the playoffs every year. There are assets and you could use those assets to acquire different players. But I think the fact that he does know them so well, the fact that I'm sure Brunson has been in the ear of Rose to get these players, to get Bridges and to bring him here, and how it'll impact the team and his ability to shoot, his ability to play defense, his ability mid-range game, three-point game. Like, I just think it adds another quality shooter, which they needed. And I think he'll fit right in. And the other thing about it is last year, the main problem with him, a guy who plays every game and led the league in minutes, I believe on two occasions. If you had a problem with some of his effort last year, which I've heard a couple times over the course of the show, and I know he had an up and down year and he went through a long stretch of really shooting problems and was really, you know, missing a lot of shots. If you have a problem with the effort on a losing team, I get it. Does that speak volumes about the person? Maybe. But there is no doubt. He is going to come to the Knicks. He can't come to this team. I mean, he was practically, you know, called out. He's made fun of by Hart. Like, I think a lot of the reason he came to the Knicks is because he felt like he had to do it. He was tired of getting knocked by his friends for being on a losing team. Like, he can't come to this team and not give max effort all the time. One, it's how they play. He won't see the court. And two, he's got his best friends there who have bought in completely, played this way, holding him accountable. Like, I think that goes away. Danny in Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How's it going?
What's up, man? How are you?
Pretty good. Happy about the Knicks trade. That was literally a grand slam for them. And I'm happy because they got a really good small forward. It's going to fit in with the Villanova guys because obviously he was from there. And I think it honestly cements that. I don't think they can re-sign Ananobi because other teams have been looking at him, and now they got another small forward. So what's the point of going to pay another guy, you know, max money? I don't think it's going to make sense, honestly, financially for them.
And, I don't know if you're going to have to pay Ananobi max money. And again, I don't even know before this trade if they would have done max money for Ananobi. So I don't think the trade impacts it either way. Is what I'm saying. He was either going to come to a contract understanding and agreement. Or he was, you know, or he wasn't. I don't think this impacts it that much.
Yeah, but I definitely, because they were looking to give him decent, probably over $20 million a year. But I don't think they want to
over 30. I mean, the max he's going to get, you know, $30 million a year or so. But he could get more than that max. I don't think he'll get the max, and we'll see how much he wants to be here. I think the feeling around the league has been, from what I've read and what I've seen, is that most likely scenario is back with the Knicks, but Philadelphia has been all over him from the jump. And, you know, it'll determine on whether or not he wants to take the most money and if the Knicks are willing to give him max. And so maybe now you would say they'd be less willing to give him max considering they got Bridges. I don't know. I don't know how much it impacts it. The guy who's going to impact is Hartenstein because it sounds like he's getting a lot of play and that he could get a contract where it just doesn't make sense for the Knicks. And I would hate to see him go because I think his style of offense, his ability to pass, would help this team so much. And with all these shooters, play that inside-out game that he plays so well. Plus, he really showed an ability to rebound. Defense, okay, no. Not as good a defender as Mitchell Robinson. And not as good a rebounder either, but he rebounded pretty damn well. And he passes, and his offensive game is so much better. And I just think he would be a great fit. But it sounds like that's the piece that's going to end up not being back. But right now, this roster is about as deep as any in the Eastern Conference besides the Celtics. And it could even be deeper than the Celtics, just, you know, not as good. You got to give it to the Celtics. I mean, they went through I don't care who they played, they went through the NBA playoffs like a hot knife through butter. They've been great and obviously defending champs. But other than that, name me a team you think is clearly better. I think it's a great move. I'm pumped about it. I think Knicks fans, we should be absolutely thrilled this morning. I don't care about the picks. I really don't. Because I don't know who you're going to get. Every time someone's name came up. Paul George, no thank you. Oh, maybe Carl Anthony Towns, no thank you. Embiid, no thank you. Everybody was no thank you. No thank you, no thank you, no thank you. Don't want it, not a fit. No thank you, no thank you. I mean, who are you going to get? At some point, you got to go out there and try and really establish this team as a championship contender. And with Ananobi, I think they are. I think that's the key right now, because without Ananobi, they're good. With Ananobi and a healthy Randle, I think you make the case that they are a championship contending team.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 441. McMonagle here with you. What a night. The good, the bad. I cried. I laughed. Did it all. We'll do more tonight. Yankees, Mets, Luis Gil versus Manaea. Another left-handed pitcher. See what the Yankees do. We'll see if the manager benches Gleyber Torres. Everybody wants to bench Gleyber Torres. And I'll tell you this. I'm not opposed to it. But I'm open to benching him for punishment reasons, but I might, if I'm going to bench him, because I think it's in the best interest of getting the best out of him. That's like where I'm at with Gleyber. I'm frustrated. I'm disgusted with him. I just don't know what else to do. Like, it's so easy to just say, sit him. Sit him for what? Especially against left-handed pitching. Oswaldo Cabrera. I'll put a play Oswaldo Cabrera. He is such a poor right-handed hitter, he's giving up on it. I mean, we've seen what Jones is. Gleyber Torres is a 27-year-old kid who had a 800 OPS last year. I can't give up on him for nothing, for nobody's. And they have a month left before they can even think of getting somebody. They need him. They need him. So if you bench him because you think he needs a break. Bench him because you want to avoid the pressure that he built on himself on another Subway Series game after the debacle he put forth last night. And that's not me defending him. I'm fed up with him. And as I've been saying it for a long time, I don't think he's a winning player. I wanted him traded in the offseason. Said it a bunch of times. Because he had value coming off a good season. I was willing to trade him, move on from Gleyber, figure something out at second base, do something different. Was all over it. And this is going to be the last year he's with the team, and that's for the betterment of the New York Yankees. But they don't have a better option for 2 months. They don't. They need him. When Boone said it, he's 100% right. They need him. And that's a scary proposition. Cisco in the Bronx. What's up, Cisco?
What's going on, C-Mac?
What's up, buddy?
So listen. I was driving home from work, and I heard your opening to the show, and I'm like, this guy's way too enthusiastic. I was ready to bury you, but...
Way too enthusiastic about what?
Dude, you were
I came off enthusiastic?
Like, yeah, you were singing like the Yankees won like 30-2 or something.
What?
But listen.
You missed the open completely, buddy. 30-2?
No, I did not.
I started by killing Juan Soto for bunting. Then
No. I'm talking about your intro when you sing the intro song.
Oh, well, I sing the intro song. I can't just.
Normally I can tell your vibe by your intro.
Well, we had
singing,
the Knicks trade.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm conflicted because I know it was the Yankees lost one game in June. The Knicks just acquired a player I'm hoping puts them over the top to become an NBA champion. Like, I mean, yeah, I'm still.
C-Mac, stop
today,
it, bro. You know this is a bigger game than just a game in June.
It's a game in June. Well, it's a game in
June.
Okay,
so first of all, this is my thing. Is that you? But you completely you changed my mindset.
Yeah.
You were actually emphatic and upset about what happened tonight, and I appreciate that. But then you said that Gleyber Torres was our best hitter last year, and he was not. He finished strong. No, C-Mac. He finished strong.
Who was better?
And we had an opportunity to move him. Listen, I'm just going to say that. That's my opinion.
You said he's not. So who was better last year for the New York Yankees? Judge, when he played, but he missed. Besides Judge, obviously.
Exactly,
who was
Judge.
Better? Well, I mean, clearly he wasn't as good as Judge, but Judge missed the whole year. He played every day. Gleyber was their best hitter last year.
Gleyber's been a disappointment since that,
no doubt.
First year when he went crazy, man.
Well, the second year, 2019 tonight, as well. But yeah, since 2019, major disappointment.
Tonight it came to a full front, and it was embarrassing. But that's what I'm going to come to you is that, listen, tonight, who was it that made that lineup? Who the hell would put Jones as a DH?
Yeah.
And you said, why put Verdugo at cleanup against the fourth, against the lefty? But he was in the lineup regardless. So why not just put him at fourth where he's been striving?
Well, Gleyber Torres is in the lineup regardless, so why not put him fourth?
Because he sucks.
Well, Verdugo's in a major slump, and he's left-handed. Against the left-handed pitching.
He was at the cleanup spot. Gleyber Torres been at the cleanup spot all year.
Gleyber Torres, yeah, but he not against left-handed pitching. They put Stanton there. Now Stanton's gone. Against left-handed pitching, they've been hitting Stanton in the cleanup spot. Now the Stanton's not
and
there.
And
your point, all right, so hit a Verdugo fourth, who's hitting fifth. After Verdugo strikes out, like he did anyway, Gleyber Torres is coming up with the bases loaded anyway. Like, there's
fine.
No...
I like
challenging him.
Why isn't Cabrera in the lineup?
Because Cabrera can't hit right-handed.
But you think... Did you see those bad bats after Judge?
It would have been any worse? I also saw Gleyber hit one down the line and knock in Stanton when he got hurt the other day and get two hits in that game. Yes, he had the miserable game last night. He's been bad all year. Look at his numbers against Oswaldo Cabrera as a right-handed hitter. Oswaldo Cabrera's not any good right-handed. He's a switch hitter who's almost giving up on hitting right-handed.
Chris, I'm asking you, though.
Yes.
Who do you think made... Do you think Boone made that lineup?
Yes, of course I do, yes.
No way in hell,
why?
Man. There's no way. Cause how the hell do you put Jones as a DH, bro?
They're grasping at straws to try and hit left-handed pitching. They haven't been able to hit left-handed pitching. They're like 11-2, 2-11, excuse me, against left-handed pitchers. He's a right-handed hitter who, in his career, has hit left-handed pitching pretty well. They're clutching at straws. They just traded for JD Davis. He wasn't good enough to be on the Oakland A's.
That's another thing. You put JD Davis straight in there, man. Why don't you just put the damn kid in?
Ben Rice?
Yeah.
I think Ben Rice needs to be in the lineup from now on.
You're just going to throw this guy in there? Like, what were you expecting? Like, Cisco.
They just traded for JD Davis. They got to play him. What's the difference between today? What was the importance of last night's game compared to tonight, compared to tomorrow, compared to the next day, compared to the next day? It's a game against the Mets. We'll yell about it. You care about it because, like, Ted in accounting is going to bother you or your cousin or your brother or whatever. I get it. But they just traded for the guy so we could hit left-handed pitching. They faced a left-handed pitcher. I understand he hasn't played in a week. Eventually, he's got to play. What's the difference between last night, tomorrow, the next day, whatever? He's here to face left-handed pitching. That's why they traded for him. Right now, they're struggling against left-handed pitchers. They're throwing anything against the wall to put right-handed batters in there to try and get something going. That's why Jones is in the lineup. That's why JD Davis is in the lineup. What should they do? They didn't perform, so now it's easy. What the hell were they thinking? Sure. That's what they're trying to do. You traded for the guy to hit left-handed pitching. Oh, leave him on the bench. He hadn't hit in 10 days. And then tomorrow it's 11 days. And then the day after that's 12 days. And then they're playing a division rival after the Mets. Does the series in Toronto not matter as much? Do those games not matter as much? These games are far more important, so you can't play JD Davis. That's the team right now, bro. Who's putting this lineup together? Boone, who built the team? Cashman. Right now, it's awful. And they don't have other options against left-handed pitching. But I agree with you. From now on, Ben Rice. That's it. He's a young kid. He had good at-bats. Ben Rice. I don't care. Righty, lefty, Ben Rice. 100% agree with you. But they traded for JD Davis. Don't play him? Why trade for him if you can't play him?
Talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 4:55, McMonagle here with you. Let's just get through as many calls as we can over the next 5 minutes until we get you to the warm-up show at 5. Mike in New Rochelle. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, brother. How we doing, man?
I'm doing all right.
I know. Let me tell you. It's just fun to watch a team stick with a plan and, yeah, and see the young guys finally come up. You know, Alvarez, of course, last year.
Oh, sure.
This year's version of Alvarez is definitely going to be Vientos, which is going to be sick. But I think a player waiting in the wind, if we're talking about trades for each team, before I get to the Knicks real quick, Jazz Chisholm, I think, would be a great fit for either team. I think maybe a little bit more for the Mets since they wanted Beatty. And Beatty's a little more, you know, out there to get rid of with O'Neal. But the Knicks trade is just ridiculous. I think it kind of shuts the door on OG. It kind of shuts the door on Hartenstein. But I think it will keep Robertson here. I think they will draft Edney tomorrow night. I think he will be there. I think he will be a great draft pick. And I just don't know what the Nets were doing. And Evan Roberts.
Oh, Evan's going to be apoplectic. I have no doubt. I don't know for sure. Fliegelman told me that someone who works with us put out a little snippet of the Rico Bronya. I didn't get a chance to listen to it yet. I'll listen to it on the way home. I'm sure Evan is going to be absolutely beside himself. I saw the tweet, so I know he was unhappy with it on some level. I don't know if he's had time to think about it, but they got a lot of picks. But they're... Oh, you want to hear a little bit? Here's a little bit of Evan that we can expect later today.
But right now, I'm living in a horrible world.
On a Rico Bronya driving home from the Mets pounding the Yankees. I know it ended up being 9-7, and the bullpen is really the one thing that scares you with the Mets right now. But, I mean, coming home, beating the Yankees, and he lives in a horrible world.
Based on the times of the podcast, I checked out because they posted, or Hoff posted just a clip of him talking about the trade, and then the full Rico, it's more than a quarter of the drive
home. I'm sure. All right, so yeah, he's not, I mean, it is. They got a lot of picks, but the value of those picks aren't worth trading him to the Knicks. It's just, if I'm a Net fan, you can't trade him to the Knicks. These two franchises haven't made a trade since 1983, and you're going to send this guy over to the Knicks to make them a championship contender? For what? You know they're going to be good. They're young. Someone brought up the last time they did it and got Paul Pierce and... KG and those picks came back to haunt them with Boston. Yeah, those guys were at the end of their career. Where's Brunson going? Where this team is going to be good, and they're young. They're 27, 28. They're going to be good for 4 or 5 years. Let's see if they win a championship, but they're going to be good. Let's go to Maury real quick. Maury and Belmore, what's up, Maury?
The New York Novas, baby. The New York Novas. I love it. Listen, Cashman, this is all on him. He wasn't prepared for this to happen.
Yeah.
He had no backup plan.
He did have a backup plan. He had a backup.
He keeps sticking up, keeps being a shill for this guy. It's his fault as usual. Where it's 50 wins.
It's his fault more than anybody else's.
50 wins.
Yeah, 50 wins, they're in first place. And they had, I mean, they had Dominguez. He was going to be the replacement if one of those guys went down. Then he got hurt with an oblique injury. How many backups do you want for Stanton? How many backups did you want? They lost Dominguez. They traded for Birdie to help with the infield and right-handed hitting. He was a good player with Miami. He got hurt. Like, they had backups. They got hurt. And agreed, this is his fault for what it is, no doubt. And trusting Gleyber Torres and trusting you, his fault. And he's got an opportunity at the trade deadline to try and fix it. And we'll see what happens. And we'll see what happens tonight with Luis Hill, who was traded for Cave by Brian Cashman. See you tomorrow. Later. I'm out of here. It's the warm-up show next. 101.9 FM.